Being seated, open up your Bible to Jeremiah. Not Jeremiah, I'm thinking of Jeremiah. Thank you. Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 4. And it would be fitting that today, as we look at passion, it would be very fitting that you just saw and witnessed a great demonstration of passion. Of an individual that loves the Lord Jesus Christ, and God is using Brother Tim in extraordinary ways to communicate the gospel. And it is in that excitement, that is his particular way of doing it and his passion. Now, you are not to have passion like Tim because you're not Tim. Nor are you have a passion like me because you're not me. You're to have passion like you. You're to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to give something within the chambers of your heart in order to give it away. So here in Nehemiah chapter 4, we see passion doesn't stop. Passion doesn't stop. I'm going to read all of these verses and then come back and kind of pick it apart a little bit and show you a couple things very quickly this morning. Here in chapter 4 of Nehemiah, it reads, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews. And in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, what are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore the wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from the heaps of rubble, burned as they are? Tobiah the Amorite, who was at his side, said, what they are building? If even a fox climbed up on it, he would break down their wall of stones. Nehemiah prays, hear us, O our God. O our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their heads. Give them over as plunder in the land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight. For they have thrown insults in the face of the builders. So we rebuilt the wall to all that reached half its height. For the people worked with all their hearts. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs and the Amorites and the man of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Verse 10, meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out. And there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Also, our enemy said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to the work. Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack us. Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords and spears and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to his own work. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears and shields and bows and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, the work is extensive and spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us. So we continued to work with half the men holding spears from the first light of dawn till the stars came out. At that time, I also said to the people, have every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem at night, so they can serve us as guards by night and workmen by day. Neither I, nor my brothers, nor my men, nor the guards with me took off our clothes. Each had his own weapon, even when he went for water. This particular passage of scripture, as we see the opposition rise against Nehemiah, as we see the opposition rise against Israel, they continue to work. So the first thing that you need to see, they had the passion. They had the passion to get the job done. They had the passion to get the job done. Look in verse 6 where it says, so we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. When your heart is in it, when your heart is in something, you do not look for excuses. When your heart is in something, you do not look for excuses. And here the nation of Israel was being bombarded by soldiers, bombarded by insults, but they had a passion to get the job done. Cooperation was amazing in the midst of some difficult times. Their cooperation was amazing in the midst of difficult times. You see, when you are trying to do something for the Lord, and whatever it may be, please understand someone was always trying to stop you. Now, let me remind you that our cell phones, unless you're looking at them for scripture purposes, ought to be out of your hands. Your cell phones should be on mute. All instruments should be by its side. We have a few minutes for you to listen to the Spirit of the Lord. Well, where is that? Yeah, I know. He's going to use me to speak to your heart. Or he's just going to speak to you. But you have to give him your attention. The adversary does not want you hearing some things today. The adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Yes, even in a church. Even here. See, when your heart is in something, you will pay attention. Hello. So what you have to do, you have to ask the Lord's help to get your heart right. You have to ask the Lord's help to get your heart in it. Here the nation of Israel, they were urgent to get the wall done, to restore the wall. And God raised up Nehemiah. Look what Nehemiah did in verse 4. After he heard what was coming, after they heard the accusations, after they heard the war cry, he goes immediately in verse 4, it says, hear us, O our God, for we are despised. And then he prays specifically. He says, pray their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in the land of captivity. Do not even cover up their guilt or blot out their sins. If they pray, don't even listen to them, God. Because what we're trying to do is a great work. Anytime something great is happening in your life, in the life of your family, the adversary cannot stand it. The adversary will do everything that he can possibly do to get you off task, for you not to finish the job. And yet God's called you to do something, whatever that is. And you need to have the passion to get the job done. In the face of adversity, in the face of discouragement, you and I need to have the passion to get the job done. The second thing that we see here that is just absolutely awesome, that they not only had the passion to get the job done, but they had the passion. They had the passion to work no matter what.
They had the passion to work, no matter what.
Now watch how this works. They had a passion to get the job done. They wanted to get the job done. They were not going to worry about the warring soldiers to keep them from getting the job done. I want you to think about in your own personal life. How many times this has had reversed in your life? Where you've given up on a job, you've given up on something because it got a little bit hard. You felt slighted. You felt, oh, well, what's the use? And yet God has spoken it in your heart. And he's told you to do something. It doesn't matter what others around you say or do. It is your relationship to the Lord God. These Israelites, they had seen what discouragement had done, and they were off. They said, stop. I've had enough. I've had enough. And God raised up Nehemiah, and he had a heart of passion. And he brings this group together, and he's their leader. And the enemies are surrounding him. Now, I have an imagine here because I want you to see something here in the verse. It says, they were working from the time in the morning to the late at night. It says in verse 21, so we continue the work with half the men holding spears from the first light of dawn till the stars came out. So I just kind of thought about the time now. And it gets early, about 6:15 in the morning. And you've been noticing the sun is starting to go down earlier in the evening. And it's going down, let's say, about 8:15 in some places. I want you to imagine you at a job from 6:15 in the morning to 8:15 at night. 14 hours. And it also says in verse 17, they had their stone and their weapon in their hands. Look at verse 17. It says, those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. Wow. People say, well, they were really multitasking. Well, you have to understand how big some of these stones were. And just to pick them up were bulky. They just had to pick them up, and they probably got them up and got them on their leg. And here they're carrying them, and they still have their weapon. How many people would say, forget it, I'm going home? When a little bit of adversity comes in your life, what do? Do you give up? Do you walk away from the job? These Israelites, they had the passion to work no matter what. Dual assignments, build and protect.
Well, that's not my job. Years and years ago, in the 70s, in the athletic world, when we would see a particular guy that was unable to do a simple right-handed layup, which is absolutely just elementary if you're going to just play basketball. Don't even worry about left hand, but just a right. And guys like we are, they would come out for the team, and we would just be in the back laughing because they would just be very spastic. Now, we're talking about in the 70s. And we would say they can't walk and chew bubble gum at the same time. And you know what the tragedy is today? That is true today. Some people can't walk and chew bubble gum at the same time. For whatever reason or reason. You feel like you can't do something. Who's telling you that? Who is telling you that you can't do something?
Who in the world is telling you that you can't be productive? Who in the world is telling you you can't accomplish something? Well, the adversary is telling you. And you're just believing it. You're just breathing it in, and day out. That you believe in lies, that you can't do it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. There's an epidemic in the United States of America, and not many people are wanting to talk about it. And in that epidemic, it is seriously impacting the church, because what happens in the world impacts the church. There is a raging epidemic in the United States of America of overweight and obesity. It is crouching on the doors of America all over the place. And because it is limiting people's mobility. It is limiting their urge to do something. And Satan is saying, hey, life is going to become easy. And if it gets too hard, you just recoil to the easy chair and you do nothing. Do nothing. Here we see a classic example of some Israelites. Man, they're ready to get killed. And they believe that God was going to protect them. They believe that God was going to help them. You see this word blank begets blank. And you got to get these two words. Energy begets energy. Energy begets energy. Your body can do more than your mind says it can. And we're accepting the reality that the world is telling us that our bodies can't do certain things. And when our bodies can't do certain things, we can't function. And when we can't function, we can't minister in the name of Jesus Christ. Something just came across my desk that is reality. And I was just out of touch with reality, I guess. Westside Baptist Church is a part of an association called Gwinnett Metro Association. And we're 100 plus churches will have a meeting one time of year. Well, this information came across my desk 8 weeks ago, and I had time to kind of get over it. And they're having a meeting. And they invited me to invite five other people to a special dinner. And at that dinner, they would encourage us, and then we could go to a service. And then they said that you can invite anybody in your church to come. And then I looked on the date. I looked at the calendar, and that's peculiar. That's a Sunday night. That's a Sunday night. It used to be in Southern Baptist churches that Sunday nights were sacred as Sunday morning. But because Satan has told the church to ease up on the throttle, what has the church done? Eased up on the throttle. Do you know how many churches have any kind of outreach programs from door to door today? They are a minority. You know what's happening among Southern Baptists in Bible study hours? It's going down. Do you know why the contemporary church is blowing its doors off? It's because the ministry of participation is at all-time high. I want to come and feel something. I want to come and receive. And And does anybody here know the Great Commission? Matthew 28, 18, 19, 20. Does anybody kind of know it to the point where you can say a few words? Go ahead, Johnny. Stop right there. Thank you, sir. Go and make disciples. It doesn't say come in here. It says go and tell. And our society has become a spectator society. And it's happening in the churches. So few and few churches. Churches don't have Sunday night programs. That's what I'm trying to get to. And that's fascinating to me. That an association would put a meeting on a Sunday night directly against what churches used to do. And then it dawned on me, well, the churches around West Side don't have them anymore. I'm not trying to say one is better than the other. I'm just trying to use that as a point. If we're so good with the gospel, why aren't more people getting saved? And let me tell the reason why people are not getting saved. We could talk about the cultural differences, and that's a reality. But there's not many people sharing. The passion is gone. You see, when you have a passion to do something, you just get it done. So what happens is this. It all kind of all goes together, right? Think about it. If you were evil, would you not just bring in just an abundant things or allow things to come in and say, man, it's coming, and God was bringing in for good, and he's using it for bad, and now people are getting what? Lazier? Yeah. Okay. And when you get lazier, do you have any energy to do anything? And you say you don't have time for it. But then when you look at your discretionary time, you have time 40 minutes to be on Facebook. You have a 30-minute show, an hour and a half event, which is all fine and good. But what are you doing for your body? What are you doing to sharpen yourself so you could be a sacrifice of praise ready to be used by the Master? Amen. You see, when I eat too many carbohydrates, how many love carbs? Man, boy, I tell you what. Man, I just love those things, man. Alive. There's something, this nation worked under adverse conditions, completed the wall in 52 days with a bunch of naysayers all around them. It is amazing what you can do with a little bit of passion in your hearts. God showed us today a man of passion. He does not want you to be like him. He wants you to be like you. But you realize that you have kind of checked out a little bit in life. You don't have the same energy. You don't have the same passion that you used to have. Do what Nehemiah did. He asked, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, give me something that I need. Help me. Put in me and then get it going. I love what Tim said a few moments ago, and it is so true. It is so true. If you don't like being enthusiastic, fake it. Fake it. Because I believe that the Lord God just uses a lot of different things, and And because I try to internalize this scripture in me and try to share it with you personally what's going on, in my walk yesterday morning, my body started hurting, and I thought that I could do a certain extent of walking, and I'm trying to do what they call fast walking. And my body started shutting down, and it started hurting. And I said, Lord, what's going on? And then all I could hear is, move your butt. Now, I'm not saying that was from the Lord. But then again, why wouldn't he said it? He made it. Hello? He made it, right? And then all of a sudden, I just started moving. And it was at that time, those of you that are former athletes, you understand what I'm talking about. As a former athlete, you get to a competition where you get to a certain level, and you're going to your top of the level, and these, what are they called? It's in the endorphins. Endorphins just kick off in your body. And those endorphins kicked off. And you have to understand, I've not had those endorphins kicked off in my life for 20 plus years. Because many of you think that in basketball you saw a lot of passion. I was a runner before that. And I put that passion in my running, and man, I was ferocious. I would get after it. And I couldn't get after it for 20 some years. And now it's starting to get after it. Whoa. And it was like I told my wife, wow, I just freed up. There were some problems I was concerned about. And the Lord said, man, forget them. I got it. That doesn't mean that you're not still hurt by it, because we're human. But hey, people hurt you in a heartbeat. People will hurt you in a heartbeat. Some intentional and some not intentional. But most of the time, when they unintentionally hurt you, that is because something is going on in their life that is so big that they can't handle. And they feel that if you found out, that you wouldn't receive them. Quite the opposite, right? You gladly receive them. But it's just that process of growing, okay? And what I'm trying to encourage you today, I started 2 weeks ago. Many of you haven't even said anything about it. Tells me you don't even read the bulletin. I have a thing in there, thinking. He says, why is he talking about exercise? Why is he talking about of moving this body? Why? Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. The reason he could go to the cross, he was a man. Man. He was a man's man. He did things with his hands. He worked. He didn't have to do push-ups. He just had to do carpentry. He walked. And some of us, the truth be told, some of us would fail that test. We'd say, man, I can't take them. No, man, the cross? Not for me. So watch what happens when we say not for me. Watch what happens when you and I get tired, when you and I get disillusioned and discouraged, you and I. What happens is this, the gospel message, send the light, doesn't get sent because we're tired. Because we're spinning so many things, and the very things that are godly important don't even get to be spinned anymore. They're so far removed. That church has accepted, well, all I can do now is show up in the pew. I think about Johnny Blaha. And I think about how God has used him in ways that many of us will never, ever, ever know. He responded to a need years and years ago. And he started preaching. Never preached before. He just responded to a need. How long have you been preaching down there, sir? And every Sunday afternoon, When I sometimes see him, I look in his eyes on Sunday afternoon, and his eyes are full of joy, but also I see the fatigue that surrounds the eyes, because it's just when you give it, when you're preaching and when you give it all out, as the crazy guy Tim would say, give it all your Jack. you do get tired. And when Tim comes down and when Johnny comes down, there's a point where they come down and they get the rest and then they get recovered and then they get back up. What about you? What are you? Are you in the army? Or are you in the army of participation? I mean, are you in the army of God? Are you banging down someone's door? My new friend is not here today. I wish he was, but he's not. That doesn't mean I won't continue to minister to new friends or help new friends. You know stuff, but when you hear stuff, it gets to me. He's in my office. I'm sharing the gospel with him. And I said, Jesus was resurrected from the dead. He said, and I quote, what'd you say? He's 18 years old, soon to be 18 years old, graduate of South Gwinnett High, right down the street. He said, what'd you say? Jesus resurrected from the dead. And after he said what he said, I felt such a failure. I felt like a failure. He said, I never heard that before. Now let me tell you the reason why I felt such a failure. Is that he would be in this community, and that we miss him. We, the body of Christ, not necessarily West Side, but West Side, First Baptist, Mount Zion, whatever the church is, we missed him. We missed him. He never heard it before. Bigger churches will get bigger because Satan is really causing Christians to miss the boat. You do not have a ministry of participation. You have a ministry of reconciliation. And that ministry is reconciliation. Is addressing and trying to confront the needs of people. We had 11 precious children for building faith on Wednesday. I'm praying for 15. Who will join me in the warfare for that? One person? Will join me in the warfare? Four. You see, the ministry of reconciliation needs some passion. Will you allow the Lord to uniquely equip you with the passion that fits your particular style? Not Tim's, not mine, not Vicky's, but yours. Only one disciple got out of the boat, but he sure had a story to tell, didn't he? Peter got out of the boat. Why didn't the others get out of the boat? You see, passion gets you out of the boat. Will you get out of the boat? Well, I'm not building a wall. I don't know what you're building. What are you building? What are you building? Ask the Lord to give you some passion. Will you bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment? Thank you. All of us are uniquely different. Those of us in Jesus Christ who've accepted Christ, you've been gifted. And all those gifts, but he also wants to use those gifts in the ministry of reconciliation. He's given that ministry to every single one of us. Just simply share what he is doing or has done in your life. Ask the Lord to give you some passion today. Maybe you're sitting there today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You would say, how do you get this, Jesus? Just asking him for it. Asking him for eternal life. Admitting him that you're a sinner and you're accepting the gift of eternal life. You're accepting Jesus the best way you know how today. That begins it. And then you start to grow in him. Right there, you can say this prayer, "Dear God, I know that I've sinned and need forgiveness. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. And I trust you the best way I know how. Jesus, will you please come into my heart this morning? In the name of Jesus." If you've just received Christ in that prayer, hallelujah. The angels are rejoicing. I don't know whether you did or not. I would love to celebrate with you. The altar is open for anyone that wants to come and pray. And maybe you want to pray about asking the Lord to put passion in your heart. Maybe there's something else the Lord is just kind of churning within you that you need to pray for and you want to come down to this altar. You are welcome. It's not a show. But you're just being led to do that this morning. In just a moment, Tim's going to lead us in an invitational song. But if the Lord wants you to respond, you just respond right away. So Lord, give us the courage and the boldness to respond. In the name of Jesus. Would you please stand?